Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to try to unravel the story of CF Bank. It's a global investment bank, and it seems like one that's caught your attention. You've been digging through their website, and honestly, I can see why this bank kind of sparked your interest. They're celebrating their fifth anniversary, which isn't a lot, but they already say they've got a client base of 30,000, and they work in this surprising range of countries. I mean, we're looking at marketing materials here, news snippets, and what looks like some internal communications, too. It's a real mixed bag, to be honest. So to help us make sense of all this, we've got our expert in finance and global markets. I'm really curious, when you look at this initial overview, what jumps out at you?
Well, I think the sheer ambition of this is pretty striking. I mean, 5 years is nothing in the financial world, you know, and they're already saying they have a global presence. Like, they list branches in England, the USA, obviously, but also Panama, Singapore, India, even Senegal, Gabon, and Congo Brazzaville.
Yeah.
It's not your typical expansion strategy for a young firm.
It's like they're playing a game of Risk, just planting flags all over the map. But what opportunities do they see in such different markets, particularly in those emerging economies? That's got to come with a whole other set of challenges compared to the established financial hubs, right?
Absolutely. They specifically talk about a growing presence in West and Central Africa, Europe, and China. And you know, those are some very different playing fields, each with its own set of economic conditions, political landscapes, and regulatory hurdles. That kind of expansion, I mean, that takes guts and a really solid risk management plan.
So are they cowboys or are they calculated? What do you make of their claim to have branches in all these locations? I mean, is that a sign of strength or are they maybe spreading themselves too thin?
It's tough to say from just this material. I mean, just because they're present in a branch doesn't necessarily mean that translates to market penetration or profitability. It does make you wonder, though, are they establishing deep roots in these markets or are they just setting up shop to attract capital?
Okay, speaking of attracting capital, let's look at what they're actually offering. Their website lists a ton of services. It seems like they want to be a one-stop shop for all things finance.
Yeah, it's a pretty common strategy, especially for newer firms trying to establish themselves fast. They've got investment banking, so your typical mergers and acquisitions and financing deals. Then there's asset and wealth management, trading. And that covers everything from FICC, which facilitates bond trading, to ETFs and stocks. They even mention consulting and research. It's a lot.
Wow. Okay. So they're casting a wide net. But are they masters of any of these trades? Their website uses some pretty bold language. For example, they claim their bankers execute the most important and complex deals, and they leverage their experience to provide advice aligned to your long-term objectives. Is that just marketing fluff? Or is there substance behind it?
That's where the real work begins.
Sure.
I mean, it's easy to make claims. It's harder to back them up, right? Yeah. We need to look past the website. See what kind of deals they've actually closed, what their clients are saying, and how their performance compares to others in the industry.
And I'm noticing another theme here, this really intense focus on client relationships. They repeatedly state that their client is our partner and that their current and future clients are an important asset. It almost feels like they're trying too hard, you know?
It is interesting, isn't it? They're trying to project this image of being really client-centric. But then right next to those statements, they include a statistic about customer churn. They say 73% of financial service consumers will switch to a competitor after multiple bad experiences. It almost seems like they're admitting their actions might not always match their words.
That's a pretty big red flag, wouldn't you say? They're basically admitting that client loyalty is fragile in this industry and that they're aware that clients could be unhappy.
Yeah, it definitely raises questions. Are they trying to address a known problem? Or is this just a standard disclaimer? To really get their client focus, we'd need to see client testimonials, case studies, and maybe even look into any regulatory actions or complaints.
Okay, so we have this young firm, very ambitious, claiming a global presence and offering a ton of different financial services. They're talking a lot about client relationships and experience, but there are hints that maybe it's not all perfect. It's all starting to feel a bit performative. What do you think, listener? Are you buying what they're selling?
And this is where things get more interesting. Remember that whole thing about their client is our partner and clients are an important asset. Well, take a look at another section of their website, investment focus and stock market advice.
Yeah, this is where they talk about how dangerous the stock market is for new investors, but then they offer their team support to help clients buy and sell. It's kind of contradictory, don't you think? Like, they're warning about the risks, but then encouraging people to jump in. It's like they're saying, invest at your own risk, but we'll happily take your money.
That might be a bit cynical. But it does show a basic tension in finance. That balance between giving objective advice and making money from transactions. It makes you wonder, are they really concerned about their clients' financial well-being? Or are they mostly focused on making profits?
It's a tough question, and one that we should keep in mind as we look closer at their business model and how they're performing financially.
Yeah, it's a balancing act for sure. And it gets even more complex when you think about how many different things they offer. Remember, we're talking about everything from huge mergers and acquisitions to managing someone's individual stock portfolio. Can one firm really be good at all those things?
Yeah, it's like they're trying to be everything to everybody. But does that really work in finance? I mean, wouldn't it be better to just focus on a few key areas and become the best in those niches?
I mean, that's what most people would say, yeah. Specialization helps companies develop deep expertise and get a good reputation in a specific area. But CF Bank seems to be trying something different, you know, like one that focuses on breadth and accessibility. They could be aiming to get a lot of different clients by offering a one-stop shop for all their financial needs.
But is that really sustainable? I mean, can they really keep up a high level of quality across so many services? Especially with a team that's relatively young and inexperienced, it seems like they're setting themselves up for some serious problems as they grow.
That's a good point. It's one thing to offer a bunch of services. It's another to deliver those services well. I think we need to look past the marketing stuff and see how they're actually performing compared to their promises. Are they closing deals? Are they making money for their clients? Are they following all the regulations? Those are the things that really matter in this industry.
Right. And about those regulations, don't forget that they're working in a lot of different countries, each with their own set of rules. That's got to be super complicated.
Oh, absolutely. Dealing with regulations is one of the biggest challenges for any global financial institution. And for CF Bank, it's even trickier because they're operating in both developed and emerging markets, each with its own level of, I guess, regulatory maturity and how much those regulations are actually enforced. Think about the differences between, say, the U.S., Singapore, and Gabon.
Wow.
It's a huge job to make sure they're following the rules in all those places.
So how do we even start to figure out how well they're managing these regulatory risks? I mean, we can't just assume they're doing everything right, can we?
No, you're right. We can't take anything for granted. We need to look for signs of a strong compliance team, solid internal controls, and a company culture that really prioritizes ethical behavior. And we could also look into their past, see if they've faced any regulatory actions or fines. That would be a bad sign.
Okay, so we've got this ambitious company saying they're global, offering a wide range of services, and facing a whole bunch of regulatory challenges. It's starting to feel like a pretty risky situation. What do you think, listener? Are you impressed by their ambition, or are you starting to feel a little worried?
And here's another thing we haven't talked much about. Their leadership and their company culture. Their website talks about their commitment to competence and good morals. And the Meet Our Board Directors section talks about experience and ethics. But how do those values actually play out in their day-to-day operations, especially in those markets where ethical standards might not be so strict?
That's a really important question, because a company's culture is often the difference between success and failure. It sets the tone for how they make decisions, how they handle risk, and how they treat clients. A good culture can be a huge advantage. But a weak culture, or one that's easily compromised, can lead to big problems.
Exactly. And it's even more important when you think about how fast they're growing. It's one thing to keep a strong culture with a small, close-knit team. It's a lot harder to do that as you expand into new markets and hire new people. They have to be very careful about how they're spreading their values and making sure those values are reflected in everything they do.
But how can we actually assess something like culture? It's not like we can just go in there and observe them like anthropologists or something.
True. It's not something you can easily measure. Mm. But there are things we can look for. Do they have a clear code of conduct? Do they give their employees training on ethics? Do they have a way for people to report problems without fear of getting in trouble? And maybe most importantly, what are their employees saying about the culture? Are they proud to work there? Do they feel like they can speak up if they see something wrong?
So it's like we're putting together a puzzle, trying to find clues to understand what this company is really like on the inside. It's fascinating, but also a little bit unnerving, wouldn't you say? There's so much we don't know, so much that's hidden.
That's just how it is, unfortunately. The world of finance is often very secretive, and it's our job to try and shine some light on those hidden areas and see what we can find.
So what should we do now? Where do we go from here?
Well, I think it's time to look more closely at their financials. We've talked a lot about their goals, their services, and the potential risks. But ultimately, the numbers will tell us a lot about how healthy they are and if they can keep going.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they're a business. And businesses are judged on whether they can make money and create value for their shareholders.
Right. So let's take a look at their financial statements and see what they tell us. Remember that first half report from 2024 that you mentioned?
Yeah, the one that showed earnings per share of $7.62 and an annualized return on equity of 12.73%. Those sounded pretty good at first, but you said we shouldn't jump to conclusions.
Exactly. Those are just two pieces of information, and we have to consider them within a larger context. We need to look at their revenue growth, their profit margins, their debt levels, their cash flow, and other key metrics to really get a sense of their financial health.
Okay, so let's break it down. What are we looking for specifically? What are the warning signs that should make us pause?
Well, first of all, we want to see consistent revenue growth, ideally across their different services. If most of their revenue is coming from just one area, it could make them vulnerable to changes in the market or new regulations.
So diversification is key, not just in terms of where they operate geographically, but also in terms of where their money is coming from.
Exactly. And we also want to see healthy profit margins. If their expenses are going up faster than their revenue, it could be a sign that they're not operating efficiently or that their pricing isn't sustainable.
Right, because being profitable is what ultimately determines whether a business can survive. They can talk all they want about ambition and caring for their clients, but if they're not making money, it's all just a facade.
And then there's the issue of debt. How much debt do they have? What are the terms of that debt? Are they making enough money to pay back their loans? Too much debt can be a huge red flag, especially in a market that's uncertain.
So it's not just about how much revenue they're bringing in. It's about the quality of that revenue and whether they're managing their finances responsibly.
Exactly. And here's something to think about, listener. As you look closer at their financials, ask yourself, does their performance match what they're saying? Are they actually doing what they claim to be doing?
Because remember, numbers don't lie. They can tell you a lot about a company's true priorities and what their future might look like.
And sometimes what they don't say is just as important as what they do say. Are there any areas where they're being vague or trying to hide things? Are there any contradictions between their financial performance and the goals they've set for themselves?
Those are the clues that can help us separate fact from fiction and make smart decisions about this interesting but potentially risky company.
And as we start looking more closely at how they're doing financially, we'll start to see the cracks in their facade, the potential weaknesses that could threaten all that ambition.
Stick with us, listener. We're about to get to the good part. Okay, so we've been digging through CF Bank's financials, and I gotta say, it's a little confusing. Things aren't always what they seem.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, their 2024 first half report, with those earnings per share of $7.62 and a 12.73% return on equity, it looks good on paper. But those numbers don't tell us the whole story.
It's like looking at a perfect family photo, you know? Everyone's smiling, but who knows what's really going on behind the scenes?
Exactly. We need to look deeper and figure out what's driving those numbers. Like, where is most of their revenue coming from? Is it spread out across their different services, or are they really dependent on just one area?
Because if one area is making most of the money, that makes them vulnerable, right? If that one area has problems, the whole thing could fall apart.
Exactly. Let's say most of their profits are coming from investment banking. Well, what if there's a slowdown in mergers and acquisitions? Suddenly, their growth doesn't look so stable anymore.
Yeah, like a house of cards. And I'm guessing their debt situation plays a big role in all of this too, right?
Oh, for sure. High debt can be good or bad.
Yeah.
If things are going well, debt can help a company grow really fast. But if they start losing money, that debt can become a huge problem.
So what's the deal with their debt? Are they managing it well, or are they taking a big risk?
It's hard to say for sure based on what we have. We need to see their full financial statements to really understand their debt situation. You know, look at their debt-to-equity ratio, interest coverage ratio, things like that. Then we could tell how risky their debt really is.
It's like we're looking at a fancy hotel, but we don't know if it's built on a solid foundation. What do you think, listener? Are you starting to have some doubts?
And there's another piece of the puzzle that's really interesting. They're talking about a growing presence in China. That market is a huge opportunity, but it's also really risky for foreign companies.
It's like exploring a new frontier, full of potential, but also maybe full of dangers.
That's a good way to put it. China has a history of protecting its own financial companies, and foreign companies often have a hard time breaking in. We know CF Bank wants to do business there, but they're not giving us a lot of details.
Yeah, they mention partners when they talk about expanding into China, but it's all very vague. Who are these partners? What have they done before? Are they actually helping CF Bank, or could they be a problem?
Those are great questions, and the fact that they're not being more transparent is a little worrisome. Ideally, we'd want to know if these partners are reputable and share CF Bank's values. Or are they maybe cutting corners and working with companies that could put CF Bank at risk, ethically or reputationally?
It's like they're inviting us on an adventure, but they won't tell us where we're going or who's driving.
Exactly. And to be successful in China, you need more than just financial smarts. You need to understand the culture and the complicated web of relationships and rules that govern how business is done there.
So how can we tell if they're really prepared to succeed in such a complex and often secretive environment?
Honestly, it's hard to say for sure based on what we have. But we can definitely say it's something that needs more investigation. If you're thinking about investing in CF Bank, you need to do your own research on their operations in China. Look for evidence of a clear plan, strong partners, and a deep understanding of how things work in that market.
It's like adding another layer of mystery to an already mysterious company. We've looked at their global ambitions, their wide range of services, their focus on client relationships, and their financial performance. But the more we learn, the more questions we have.
And that's the whole point of this, right? We're not just looking for answers. We're learning to ask better questions.
We've found some interesting clues, but we've also seen how important it is to think critically, to look beyond the surface, and to question what we're told.
Because in finance, things are rarely simple. It's a complicated world with a lot of different players, motivations, and risks. To succeed, you need to be skeptical, always learning, and willing to challenge the way things are done.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into CF Bank, we want to leave you, the listener, with one final thought. What kind of company do you want to invest in?
One that impresses you with big promises, or one that's honest and accountable?
One that's focused on making a quick profit, or one that thinks about the long-term consequences of its actions?
The decision is ultimately yours. But hopefully this deep dive has given you the knowledge and tools to make those decisions wisely.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. Keep asking tough questions, and until next time, keep diving deep.